On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, we are talking about professional tryouts. Are the Edmonton Oilers going to dish any out, and who will the Edmonton Oilers offer one to? We will talk about that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we're going to be talking about PTOs as it seems to be the flavor of the week this week with the Edmonton Oilers. So who are some candidates to receive some PTOs from the Edmonton Oilers? We will talk about that in just a second. Also on today's episode, we are talking about the 2015-2016 Edmonton Oilers and just how much they have gotten better since Connor McDavid was first in the organization. The first team Connor McDavid played for in the organization. We'll take a look at the changes from there. And also, the ghost of Oilers past comes back this week with probably a little bit of a fan favorite. Think of a lot of people growing up in the late 2010s, well, early 2010s, really, or late 2000s, kind of like this guy. I guess 2010, because he got traded in 2010. There's a little bit of a clue for you to figure out by the end of the episode. Either way, thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Alrighty, PTO seem to be, as mentioned, the flavor of the week for the Edmonton Oilers. Sam Gagner has been mentioned on a PTO for the last couple of weeks, but now a couple names have come up. Dustin Nielsen and Tom Gazzola did mentioned PTOs on their show yesterday as well on Oil Stream, I believe that is called. And Tom Gazzola said that he was going to dive deeper into some names here. So I might as well do his job. Not really, because Tom Gazzola is fantastic at his job, one of the best in the city. But I decided to take a look at Twitter and take a look at some of the names that people were throwing out there just because I don't have the inside sources like Tom Gazzola does. I can only do my job. So PTOs, who can the Edmonton Oilers throw PTOs at? Obviously, Sam Gagner has been the name that many people have thrown out there. 81 games played last year. He hasn't missed a lot of hockey over the last couple of years, which is nice to see in an older player like Sam Gagner, which absolutely shoots my heart out to say because I was at Sam Gagner's first game in the NHL, so I feel old. 13 goals, 18 assists, good for 31 points. Very productive for a fourth line guy or a potential fourth line guy for the Edmonton Oilers next year. I've already talked at length about Sam Gagner, so I'm not really going to right now. I'm going to talk a little longer about some of the other guys, though. I'm going to start with the name that I'm not too pumped to see thrown out there on Oilers Twitter lately. I don't think it's a possibility. I just think it's a popular name right now on the internet, but I might as well talk about it because it's out there. People have been saying Jake Virtanen on a PTO. The Oilers, while he was with the Canucks, have kind of quietly, consistently been one of those teams that people were like, oh, I wonder if he would fit in Edmonton. Then his whole legal battles, I don't want to go too much into it because I don't want to get anything wrong out of respect for the victim as well. So Jake Virtanen last year played in the KHL in 36 games, had 9 goals, 7 assists, 16 points. Not very productive for a guy overseas who wants to find a contract in North America, if you ask me. Also, the year before in the NHL, the league that he's trying to play in 38 games, scored 5 goals, no assists. Does this lad think he's Alexander Ovechkin? I'm sorry, but that's not good enough for a PTO. Next name. Sorry. Like Jake Virtanen. People throwing Jake Virtanen's name out there just looking for clicks. It's unbelievable. Next name. We're moving on. We're never mentioning Jake Virtanen on this show again. Dylan or Daniel Sprong. Almost called him Dylan. Basically did call him Dylan. Daniel Sprong, the first Dutch hockey player in the NHL. Spent last year with the Seattle Kraken and got traded back to the Washington Capitals, if I'm not mistaken, at one point. But he had 63 games played in the NHL last year, 14 goals, 6 assists, 20 points. Now, he was one of those names that I kind of circled at the start of the summer saying, if you could get Sprong on an easier team-friendly contract, he might do you some pretty good in next year. He has had some pretty favorable advanced stats when it comes to goals for and goals against per 60 minutes. Across the league as well, not only on his team, but also around the league. So he's pretty productive, obviously, in 63 games, 14 goals. Might be a pretty solid ad for the Edmonton Oilers if they can get him on a PTO. The next name is a little bit of an interesting name. This one, he's changed representation. He had a little bit of a turbulent year in Winnipeg last year. I'm talking about Evgeny Svechnikov, the brother of Andrei Svechnikov. Evgeny Svechnikov, I rather liked when he first came into the NHL. I thought he was going to be pretty decent. I still think he has a lot in him to show. I'm not sure what is going on with him, but his new agent is the same agent as Evander Kane and Andrei Kuzmenko, Dan Milstein. He represents a whole bunch of players around the league, including Ilya Mikheyev. I mean, he's one of the biggest agents next to Alan Walsh in the NHL. So a good representation there. He could probably get him a contract somewhere in the NHL. Last year, he played 72 games with the Jets, so pretty obviously familiar with the game, but being able to consistently get in the lineup despite consistently being in the in the mouths of many people saying, oh, this just isn't the guy. 7 goals, 12 assists, 19 points. So again, truculent year for the lad, but we'll see if he can get some time somewhere else in the NHL. Two more forwards for you, and then I have two defensemen to throw at you as well. One name I saw as well, Tyler Motte, who spent the season split between Vancouver and the New York Rangers. Not a fantastic outing with the Rangers. He had no points in 9 games with the Rangers last year. Did get into 58 games, though, in total. 7 goals, 8 assists, 15 points, all coming with the Vancouver Canucks last season. Could be an interesting bottom six add. He's obviously a little bit productive when he can play. And he was productive, obviously, in the Western Conference. We'll see if that's a little bit of a trend. The final forward I have, I'm shocked to see people throwing in as a PTO because this guy needs a contract. And the fact that he still isn't signed, and for the numbers that I've seen thrown out there potentially for this guy, for a guy who scored almost 20 goals, he scored 19 goals, 24 assists, 43 points in all 82 games. That's Evan Rodriguez. I've seen people throwing out his name for a potential professional tryout. And I sit here and I go, well, he's been producing. This isn't even his first season producing at a respectable level. He was a bottom six guy throughout his entire career, still produced. And then now, last year in Pittsburgh, scoring almost 20 goals, a goal away from 20. And he's still not signed. And people are talking about a PTO. On the surface, that seems very not even doable, very wantable almost. That's not even a word. But why? Why is he still looking for a contract? Why, despite having almost 20 goals, is he potentially looking at a PTO? Is there something more to Evan Rodriguez we're not really known to yet? That's kind of my concern. Why is a guy who's been pretty productive over the last couple of years, a name that I also circled at the start of the summer, hasn't signed yet? Yet Phil Kessel can sign for $1.5 million for cap-strapped Vegas for Golden Knights. I'm interested to see what happens with Evan Rodriguez. The final two names, they are defensemen if people do want upgrades to the D. One being the second overall pick in the 2012 NHL draft, the Nail Yakupov draft. Ryan Murray, who just won a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche. Last year got into 37 games, no goals, 4 assists for him for 4 points. Could you imagine the Oilers getting the second overall pick in 2012 on a professional tryout? That's kind of mostly why I brought him up. I also brought up Ryan Murray earlier on in the summer as well, because potentially the Oilers could take a look at him. With his contract deal, still looking for a contract for Ryan Murray, so could be looking at a PTO. Edmonton might snatch him up. The final name I have on here, a little bit more of a defensive defenseman, but does have the veteran tag, I guess, along with him. And that's Ben Harper. Last year with Nashville, 19 games played in the NHL. No goals, 1 assist, 1 point. He only has 1 goal in his career, so very defensive minded. I guess that's what a lot of people want from defensemen for the Oilers next year as well. So could be a fit. Not a massive fan, but either way, those are about 7 names that you should probably look for when it comes to potential professional tryouts for the Edmonton Oilers this year. We will move on to the 2015-2016 Edmonton Oilers and just how that team was in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. Guys, if you are a football fan, these next 2 weeks are your best friends. Saturday this weekend, you have college football coming back. What's better than college football with all those fans? And then next week, the week after that, the week after this week, we got NFL, baby. NFL is back. So make sure you are getting on top of all your NCAA and NFL news and lines and bets right now. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, also including MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, NHL, NBA, name a league I haven't mentioned yet, they probably have it on BetOnline. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Where we are going to continue our show is with the 2015-2016 Edmonton Oilers, as I'm going to fix my notes because I did put, for whatever reason, the 2014-2015 Edmonton Oilers, but it is in fact the 2015-2016 Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers team that first included one Connor McDavid. Yes, Connor McDavid was selected that year, slotted into the lineup, had an unfortunate collarbone injury. And since then, other than his knee injury, which he came back like RoboCop, has been his only major injury so far. Knock on wood, everybody. Everybody find wood. I apologize for what I just did. Anyways, let's take a look at that Edmonton Oilers team, because I think a lot of people... I was doing the first line and I was like, oh, okay, that's not a bad first line. And then I got to the center of the second line and said, okay, now what? Honestly, at one point, I just started throwing all the names onto a list, kind of made it look like a lineup card. But it's not. It is not fantastic. Let's take a look at this first line for the Edmonton Oilers. You know what? Their first line was basically the only line that they had fully intact. Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Jordan Eberle. Everyone thought that was going to be the future of the Edmonton Oilers. The following year, Taylor Hall got traded 1-for-1 Poor Adam Larson. So so much for that. Then Jordan Eberle eventually got sent off for Ryan Strome. And the only two remaining from that team, well, basically, is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Connor McDavid. Interestingly enough as well, though, Leon Draisaitl was also still on that team as well. He came back, I believe, from... where did he go? Prince Albert after the Memorial Cup. He came up. I think that was back when he was still number 55. So, hey, Dylan Holloway's wearing 55 now this year. Could be a pretty nice number in the Oilers organization. Speaking of number 55s, you know who the reason why he had to change from number 55? Mark Letestu. Yeah. Mark Letestu is on this Edmonton Oilers team as well to round out the centerman, number 51, the second round pick from the 2009 NHL draft, Anton Lander. Yeah, that was the year the Edmonton Oilers also selected Magnus Pajärvi Svensson, 10th overall. So that's fantastic. And then they decided to go, hey, you ever heard of your best friend Anton? And threw him in there. So the Edmonton Oilers forwards in 2015-2016, or excuse me, their centers, were Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, so the spine of the team now, Mark Letestu, and Anton Lander. Nah. Nah. The wingers, though, is where you get a little... little squirrely. The left wingers, Taylor Hall, lined up on the first line. And then after that, you could just throw names out of a hat and there, here's your lineup. You also had Patrick Maroon on that team. You acquired him halfway through the year. Luke Gadzik was still on that Oilers team as well. Matt Hendricks, a leader among men on that team there. I remember the year after the Edmonton Oilers made the playoffs, Matt Hendricks came out for warmups every game just for his leadership to be felt on the ice, just for warmups. Even if he wasn't playing in playoffs or in that playoff game, he would still come out for the warmups so the players could get to talk to him on the ice, get, kind of calm their nerves, and still have a veteran out there on the ice. I've always loved Matt Hendricks, so quick shout out Matt Hendricks. Also, wingers on that team, left wingers on that team. Jajar Kara as well. He was just coming into the NHL at that point. Rob Klinkhammer was on that Edmonton Oilers team. Lauri Korpikoski, the legend himself, number 28. I always liked Korpikoski. I don't know what it was. I always liked Korpikoski and Klinkhammer were very interesting Oilers to me. That was an interesting time. And then as well, to round out those left wingers, Benoit Pouliot. Remember Benoit Pouliot being the Edmonton Oilers premier edition that one summer? We should have realized back then. Over to the right side for the forwards, Jordan Eberle, as mentioned, also on that team was Nail Yakupov. I kind of want to bring Nail Yakupov back to the Edmonton Oilers. I can't lie. I kind of want to see Nail Yakupov on this current Edmonton Oilers team with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, obviously, but you got Jesper Puljujarvi. Got a lot of interesting guys. I want to see how he would mend with that team. Also on that team, Zach Cassian came to the Edmonton Oilers. Adam Cracknell was on the Oilers at that time. How about this name? How about Eero the Hero? Eero Pakarinen? I don't know what it was about Eero Pakarinen, but every single time that I got to say his name, I turned into the Lucky Charms guy. Eero Pakarinen? I was a big Pakarinen guy too, but either way, finishing out the right wingers, Teddy Purcell was on that team, the other premier signing of that offseason, along with Benoit Pouliot. And Anton Slepyshev came over for one of his first years in the NHL, one of his last years as well, because I believe the last year in the NHL for Anton Slepyshev was that year the Oilers went to the playoffs. So those were the forwards. I'll quickly hammer out through the defense because the defense is... y'all thought the Oilers defense now was bad. This is bad. This is actually bad. This is really bad. And in literally no particular order, because I was going through this, and I'm like, who even plays on this team? Adam Clendenning was on this team, not Luke Glendenning. Adam Clendenning, defenseman on that team, along with recently sent to, not sent to, but signed with Kunlun Red Star in China, Brandon Davidson as well was on that team, Oilers legend. Mark Fain also on that team, along with Andrew Ference. Oh, I promise you it doesn't get any better. Eric Greiba as well was on that team with Brad Hunt, who's somehow still in the NHL. All right, get your tissues ready, everybody. Oscar Klefbom, along with, now this is why you actually need your tears, Nikita Nikitin. I'm having a little too much fun with this because this is a little bit of a joke. Darnell Nurse, along with Jordan Oesterle, who I think is still in the NHL somewhere. I think he last with Florida. I'm probably wrong. This is such a joke. The next player is Adam Party. Adam Party was on a serious Edmonton Oilers team along with Griffin Reinhardt, and the final two defensemen for the Edmonton Oilers on that team, Justin Schultz and Andre Sekera. Congratulations to Andre Sekera, by the way, on his fantastic career, just recently retired this last offseason, or this offseason, I should say. And finally, to round out the net, Laurent Brossoit, Cam Talbot, and Anders Nielsen. So you sit there and you wonder why a lot of people went, man, that was a dark time in Edmonton. That's why. Now the Edmonton Oilers, the lines are literally, if we take a look at this, Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, throw it out there, Kyler Yamamoto, Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, and Jesse Puljujärvi, Matthias Janmark, potentially Sam Gagne, Derek Ryan, Devin Shore, better than Hall, Nuge, Eberle, Maroon, McDavid, Yakubov, Gadzik, Draisaitl, Cassian, Hendricks, Letestu, Cracknell. Also on the defense, Nurse and CC, Kulak, Bouchard, Broberg, and Barry, as well as Niemelainen, Desharnais, just throw a bunch of names out there. But much better than what it was back then. I'm sorry you had to relive that. If I had to think about it, then you had to as well. I'm sorry, but it's life. Either way, let's move on to the Ghost of Oilers Passes. This one was a little bit of a fan favorite, one of my favorites as well, kind of growing up, because he also had to play within the depths of just how bad that team basically looked. It all basically led up to that team, and he was on those teams there. Either way, just before we get into that, I have a PSA from the NHTSA. Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? What's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Now we are going to move into the final section of today's episode, the final period, and that is the Ghost of Oilers Past. Today's Ghost of Oilers Past was acquired back on June 29th, 2008, a couple days before the July 1st free agent frenzy. I remember this day like it was yesterday because I was very sick with the flu in Los Angeles and almost had to fly home on a plane before a bomb threat at LAX canceled that flight. Yes, that's an entirely true story. I was throwing up the moment I found out that the Edmonton Oilers had traded Jarrett Stoll and Matt Green to the Los Angeles Kings for Lubomir Vyshnovsky. Today's and this week's Ghost of Oilers Past is Lubomir Vyshnovsky. I was a big Lubomir Vyshnovsky guy. Despite the fact I was throwing up at the time of the trade, I was an even bigger Jarrett Stoll and Matt Green guy. I was a big Jarrett Stoll guy because I liked the Edmonton Roadrunners, and he was on the Roadrunners at the time. Got to be pretty personal with the Edmonton Roadrunners back then, but it was tough to see a guy like that go for me. In Jarrett Stoll, and Matt Green was obviously a fan favorite as well. But the Edmonton Oilers got a fan favorite in return in Lubomir Vyshnovsky. As mentioned, he was traded to the Oilers on June 29th in 2008. He spent two seasons with the Edmonton Oilers in 2008-2009, then 2009-2010. In 2008-2009, his first year in the Edmonton Oilers, 50 games played, 8 goals, 23 assists, good for 31 points. And then the following year, 57 games played, 10 goals, 22 assists, good for 32 points. That was along with the Edmonton Oilers. However, on March 3rd of 2010, that same season, the Edmonton Oilers traded Lubomir Vyshnovsky. The Edmonton Oilers acquired a defenseman from the Anaheim Ducks for Vyshnovsky. That defenseman, along with a third round pick, was Ryan Whitney. Yes, the Edmonton Oilers got Ryan Whitney, Whit Daddy, Whit Dog, depending on if you subscribe to the Spittin' Chicklets feel. I know not everybody's a big Spittin' Chicklets guy. I don't really listen to Spittin' Chicklets, but I'm a Pink Whitney guy, so. And also, my favorite Ryan Whitney memory was his first game against the Anaheim Ducks at Rexall when he just decided to sit on like the boards of the bench of the Anaheim Ducks, and Randy Carlyle is just sitting there laughing his head off. I always thought that was one of the best moments in Oilers history. And Whitney's just sitting there going, ooh, and Solani's sitting there laughing too. Just all of that, Lubomir Vyshnovsky led to that. So I just had to mention that. His final season, Lubomir Vyshnovsky's final season in hockey came in 2015-2016. After he spent the rest of his career up until 2015 in the NHL, spending some time with different teams around the NHL, tried his hand at a PTO, speaking of which, with the Chicago Blackhawks, didn't turn out, ended up going back home to Slovakia, played in the KHL for Bratislava Slovan, so excuse me if I mispronounced that, played 9 games that year in 2015-2016, got 2 goals, 8 assists, 10 points, oh Lubo, you still have it, baby, but no, he ended up calling it a career after that. Since then, he's been rather quiet. But I found a Slovakian article that came out about 5 days ago, a little bit of a profile with Lubo, because Vyshnovsky is playing with a whole bunch of Slovakian and kind of that area, Eastern European hockey players in a charity game just next week, I believe it is. Playing in that charity match is Jaromír Jágr, Marian Hossa, Marian Gaborik, Yuri Talusi was a fun name in there, Marek Zidlicki, Edmonton Oilers legend, Peter Klima, or Patrick Klima, oh my goodness, I already said that, oh my goodness, Marek Zidlicki, Filip Hronek, Jakub Voracek's going to be in there, Patrick Elias, one of my favorite players growing up as well, Peter Nedved, an Edmonton Oilers legend, and Peter Bondra as well, going to be in that charity game as well. So, you know, as mentioned, he tries to keep up. He's not doing anything hockey related. He's just living in retirement. He's mentioned that he tries to keep up with his bicycling, walks his dog all the time and stuff like that. Just being a normal lad over in Slovakia. That is where we'll call it today. As mentioned, it's been a hot week here in Edmonton. Just before you go, I just want to thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to the Ultimate Pro Football Preview of 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one ultimate NFL preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Audacity app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. As mentioned, let's call it there. It is Thursday. We will be back tomorrow for Friday. It's Friday. Then we're not getting into it yet. Tomorrow is Friday. We will be back on Friday again. I hope you have a wonderful day leading into the long weekend, baby. I hope you stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And play La Bamba, baby.